From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Normally, however, today we are on 790 ESPN. We are still your local sports leader. And the reason why is because the San Francisco Giants are at Wrigley Field. They're playing the Cubs. And their pregame is going to be starting at 10:50. So we're like, hey, we'll just do the old switcheroo, put it on 790. The episode is still being recorded, so you could go back and listen to any of the episodes, obviously, but you can go back and listen to this future episode. We got 2 hours of pure high school sports talk here in the Central Valley. I am here at First String Sports, as always, from 10 to 12 every Saturday morning, chopping it up about all the good stuff that's going on in the central section. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room here off to the right-hand side. And if you're not familiar with First String Sports, they're the only local sporting goods shop where you can get your Letterman's Jacket. It's where I do my show, for the Letterman's Jacket Room. You walk in, see the neon sign, head off to the right, and there they are in all their glory, looking to my left. Got Madera, Sanger West, Sanger, Apaches in the lose the last couple weeks. Those boys winning that state championship in volleyball. And also, I mentioned this last week. I didn't go over it in too much detail, but the Apaches got to keep their mascot. There was some controversy. The governor's office passed a mascot racial law a few years ago, and you've probably seen that throughout the section. Chowchilla had to change their name. Larry had to change their mascot. But the Apaches did not. They were on the list of one of the names that needed to be changed, but they got letters of recommendation from two local tribes that said, hey, Sanger can have the Apache name. It's a great honor for us. So double win for Sanger a couple weeks ago. Congrats to them. I mean, that's a big deal to a lot of people. Again, Letterman's Jackets galore. And never fails as well on the counter here. There's Letterman's Jackets laid out. You can configure them however you want. You know, graduations, a lot have happened already. There's a couple more going on here in the Central Valley. Never too late to get those patches on and order your jacket, get it fitted, and all that good stuff. So, again, thanks to First String Sports. They are my day one sponsors. Couldn't do this show without them. And I might as well tell you guys that I have one more show next week, and then taking a two-month break, and then we are renewed for year six. So super pumped about that, man. Coming back in August. Same format, same time, same place. Hopefully the same great content that you've come to enjoy over the years. But excited about another year of bringing high school sports to you. We're going to be broadcasting, again, football and basketball games as well. Phil Bonatti. He's going to be on the call doing play-by-play. Actually, Phil Bonatti's coming on a show. A little bit of a teaser right there. Phil's coming on the show. We're going to be talking about some of the great things that we saw over the school year. Also want to give a shout-out before I get into who's coming on the show today. Shout-out to the foundation at FCOE. And, of course, our Lee's Air Weather Report. They're a big sponsor of 1430 and 790 ESPN. What are we sitting at right now? 78 degrees. Going to be a high of 92 by around 3 o'clock. So, yes, the weather is heating up. We're going to be having a little bit of a dip early next week. And then next Saturday, I just looked ahead to see what the temperature of my final show of the year is going to be. And there it is, a number we never want to see. But if you live in the Fresno, Clovis, Central Valley area, you know what's happening. 105 is the forecast 1 week from today. So buckle up, get those air conditioned fixed, get the pool ready to go because, it's officially arrived next week, those mid-100 degrees. All right, so on the show today, we've got a wide variety of subjects. After the break, we have a CIF state track and field champ, Buchanan's Carson Van Graal. He's coming in here to First String Sports. In fact, He was here. I mentioned the Letterman's jacket. He was getting it configured even before 10 o'clock. Around 9:45, he and his family came in, and they're getting their Letterman's jacket fixed. So he's coming in. He won the discus this year. Throw of over 200 feet, 202.1 to be exact. Headed to Princeton. So really excited to hear about his journey to become a state champion. After Carson, we're going to have Woodlake softball coach Ramon Lara's coming in. How about those Tigers, man? Quietly, they've built a dynasty there in softball. Gunning for their second straight SoCal regional championship. They won three central section championships in a row. They are 60-5 in the last two seasons. They're playing today for a championship. They're actually hosting. Last year they had to go on the road. I remember talking to Coach Lara. He was on the bus headed to Pioneer Valley. But this year they're hosting Grossmont. They got a really good chance of winning, man. And if you are anywhere around the Visalia area, you guys know where Woodlake is. Head on over there, man. Support their team playing at 4 o'clock. Also want to mention Hanford West, girls softball. Did not make it to the championship game in their own central section, but, man, they got hot at the right time in the state playoffs. They are at Helix today for their SoCal championship. All right, so that takes care of the first hour, the top of hour number two. I mentioned my guy Phil Bonatti coming on. We're going to be wrapping up the season. Some of the great games that we saw, we're going to be talking about those, the top storylines. We have our really cool 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Year banquet this Tuesday, June 9th. Came up really quick. It's going to be held at Fresno Lexus. Last year, it was our inaugural Student Athlete of the Week / Year banquet, and it was a huge hit. Huge hit. We're running it back this year. Full dinner paid for. We have scholarships. We have plaques for all of our nominees. And if you're listening and you haven't confirmed, we got a few that have not confirmed yet. Get on that. It's going to be a great night. We're going to honor all of our student athletes of the week, talk about them a little bit, and then we're going to announce our boy and girl student athletes of the year. There's going to be some money involved. So that's a big – we've been pumping this up all year. Get the nominations in. Phil does a great job of putting it out to vote to, I believe, six different people. We vote on the student athletes of the year. They come in, get interviewed on Phil's show, and here we go. We're wrapping it up on Tuesday. So big deal. Phil, we're going to be talking about that. Again, our top storylines. Really looking forward to that conversation with Phil. And finally, to wrap up today's show, we're going to go over a subject that's not talked about enough, especially on the radio. Now, if you guys, again, are familiar with the show, you kind of know my MO. You know how I navigate things. I love to give out scores and updates about recruitment, and highlight the kids and the teams, bring in coaches, bring in other media members. But we don't talk enough about mental health and the behind the scenes that goes on between student athletes. It's not easy, guys. It is certainly not easy. I was a student athlete. I was a coach. And we've seen, I remember having multiple discussions with some players after a practice or sometimes even after a game where we dive into some deep issues. And it's something that is talked about at times, but certainly not enough. We have Vaughn Blunt, who's a star football player from Kerman High School. He won a Cal Hope Award. And I saw it on social media, and I saw him give about a two-minute blurb about his journey. And he was very open and honest about it. Talked about how his sophomore year, he struggled with some depression. His grades went down. He quit baseball and basketball, stuck with football, obviously. Again, star football player. I'm sure he was a big man on campus. And we're going to hear from him. We'll hear from his journey and how he was able to come out of that through help from coaches, friends, family, who saw him change. So Vaughn has volunteered to come in here to First String Sports and share a story. You guys won't want to miss it. Absolutely not. This is extremely important. And I'm very glad that Vaughn, first of all, was open about his journey on social media, and then very happy that he's going to be coming here to First String Sports to talk about that. Again, you guys will not want to miss it. All right, so last week on my show, again on Saturdays, there were four other games that had not been played, the championship games in baseball and softball. We broadcasted the Liberty of Bakersfield and Bullard game. Jim Sandrini came on. We chopped it up. We made some diagnosis of the rosters and what to look for. And all in all, right, Liberty, we figured, was the favorite. Even though they were the 4 seed, Bullard was a 2 seed. And sure enough, Liberty won 6-2, won their second championship in the last 3 years. In fact, Bakersfield has won the last 5 Central Section D1 championships. So a lot of questions about that. Just as far as, like, come on, Fresno, Clovis, represent a little bit. Bakersfield certainly has a stronghold the last 5 seasons. Bullard had chances, though. I felt like Liberty dominated the game. Bullard ran themselves in a couple outs at home, had some opportunities to drive in some runs, put some pressure on Liberty after they took a 5-0 lead. But the Patriots are too strong, so they prevailed. They actually lost in their first round of the state championship bracket. But congrats again to Liberty. They got some dudes, and they're going to be back again next year. Their main players are very, very young. Not a lot of seniors on that team. So Liberty is going to be good for the next couple of years. Another really good story. How about those Roosevelt Rough Riders winning their first Central Section baseball championship in well over 60 years? Defeated Corcoran in a great game. Won their first round of the state playoffs. Played Minarets tough in the second round of the state playoffs. Speaking of Minarets, get to softball in just a second. Minarets is the only baseball team still alive right now from the Central Section. If you are a fan of Central Section sports, you got to be there today. 4 o'clock, they're going to be taking on Pacific Grove for the SoCal Championship. And I have it on good authority that Jamie Spurgeon, their stud pitcher, is fully rested, is going to be on the mound today. So if you got nothing to do, you're a fan of sports, head on over to Minarets. It's a beautiful baseball field. Coach Jesse Dara explained it last week when he was on the show, just how gorgeous and beautiful it is. So check it out, man. I'm excited for them and their opportunity today. So we mentioned that we got Carson Van Graal on the show, Buchanan State discus winner at the state level. He'll be coming on in just a few minutes. There was one other state champion from the Central Section. Clovis West long jumper, Julius Sanders, had a heck of a jump. Career best 24.5 1/4 jump to win state. I believe it was on his last attempt. How cool is that? I saw the highlights on social media, but, man, what a great jump from Sanders. Congrats to him. A couple more things before we hit a break here. Local football recruits. We got Rolando Jefferson, a couple Fresno State guys, man, future Bulldogs in the Central Valley. Rolando Jefferson is back at Central East after spending the last year at Clovis West. And A.J. Williams, who ironically is now at Clovis West, I didn't know this until I saw it on social media, from Hanford. Both of those guys committed to Fresno State. Wide receivers, big dudes, 3-star guys, going to add real toughness, again, to the Fresno State program. So, man, we love it when our local guys commit to stay at home, go to Fresno State. So, Rolando Jefferson is going to be one of those stud receivers, Central East, going to have a great team. A.J. Williams is now at Clovis West. J.J. Howard is going to throw to him. Excited about watching A.J. and J.J. That combo is going to be pretty lethal this year. One last thing. There's a big Fresno State 7-on-7 tournament for high school today. I know it's going to be a high of 92. I'm thinking about checking it out. But it's a really well-run tournament. been there the last couple of years, just walking around, checking stuff out. And yes, guys do get recruited. They do get offers at 7-on-7 deals. Deegan Rose, who's now at Fresno State, quarterback from Clovis. You got offers while throwing at 7-on-7. So that's going to be a cool deal. So, yeah, check that out. So lots of good stuff going on, even though the summer months are basically upon us. All right, enough talking from me. We're going to hear from a state champion in discus, Buchanan's Carson Van Grau, coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 790 today, ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. We're broadcasting on 790 today. Giants are going to be on 10:50. First pitch scheduled for 11:20. And good intro there by Jorge. Never can go wrong with the Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane. So good job by you on that musical choice. And that leads us to Carson Van Grau, state champion in the discus. I mentioned how he came in earlier getting the letterman's jacket all configured and time to put that state champion patch on your jacket, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So walk us through that story. So your parents came in as well, and literally you had your letterman's jacket out maybe on the table or whatever and thinking about coming to first string sports, and then you get the text from me about coming on the show and coming into first string sports. True story?
Yes, that is true.
Well, did you see the text and you're like, wait a second, you didn't show your parents? Like, what kind of walk us through what was going on there?
Yeah, so I was laying all the patches out, or was lining up to, because we were going to leave that day to come here and basically put my letterman's jacket in the order. And then I saw your text. I was like, oh, I guess we can wait a little bit to go to first string since we'll have something new to do when we're here.
So where are you putting the state champion patch? Is it going on like on the back, on the sleeve? Where are you putting
it? It's going on like my forearm area. I'm going to have the conference champion and then the state champion one. And then all the All-Valley, All-State, and All-American is on the left side.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's cool. All right. So it's been a full week since you won that coveted state championship. What's been – now you've had some time to reflect on it. What's been like the best sense of accomplishment throughout this last week? Like, what's been the prevailing thought from you after you won?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a state champion in discus especially. And so just to achieve that, it's a surreal feeling. And to achieve that goal, it's just a great feeling to have.
And then putting that patch on too.
Yeah, that's
patch
too.
On the letterman's jacket. Just kind of walk us through your thought process that – I'm always curious about the state track and field event. Unfortunately, I haven't been in a few years because of the baseball broadcast that we've been doing. But the state championships held at Buchanan at Veterans Memorial is quite a spectacle. What time, first of all, were your throws scheduled for?
So check-in was 5:30, and the actual event started at 6:30.
And that's probably everywhere, right? All the meets you do, discus and, I know you did shot, but are later in the day?
Yes. So it's about an hour between check-in and when you start.
Got it. Okay. But usually later in the day, like not at 2 or anything like that.
No.
How are you able to control the emotions or the anxiety of especially a meet like the state championships? Like, what's the process? What time are you waking up? When are you eating? What's occupying your thoughts as well?
Yeah, so usually I do the same normal schedule that I always have. I don't wake up later, sleep in more, do anything different. I woke up about 6 o'clock, as I usually do. My dad made me an egg and bagel, or egg and cheese bagel sandwich, had the entire year for every meet. And then I was mostly relaxing throughout the day. Left at about 1 o'clock because I wanted front row parking, because parking is always crazy when you're out there. And then leading up to when I was, like, in the team tent, I was actually reviewing materials for a summer fellowship that I'm doing. So I was reading actually a lot. And then, like, 2 hours before the event started, I started listening to music, stretching, moving around a little bit. And then I got there at check-in time, 5:30. I stayed there till 6:30 when it started, and then went from there, started competing.
What is like the interaction with the other athletes? Obviously, you're well aware of the other guys you're competing against, right? The guys you competed against probably the last 3 or 4 years. Like, are you talking with the guys at all? Are the guys, you know, have their headphones in and in their own world? What's that like interacting with the guys?
Usually I talk a little bit like during warm-ups, but once competition starts, I'm very locked in. I don't usually talk too much to other people. Usually I just talk to them before.
Are you talking, going over some final things with maybe your throws coach or getting some final information, or are you just like, man, I am extremely prepared for this moment?
Yeah, I think being at the state meet for 3 years has taught me how to be prepared. So any conversation that I have with my coach, it's the smallest like detail. It's nothing big, nothing extraordinary that I haven't done before. So it's all very same.
It's all scripted. It's all locked in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get to your specific throw. So you unleashed the winning throw on throw number two.
Yes.
Correct. What order were you guys in, first of all? I don't know how that works. Like, because you were one of the favorites. So did you go first, or what does that look like?
So in qualifying, if you qualified with the highest mark, you go last.
Go last.
You go last in the order. And then they reseed after three throws to where if any, like, changes happened, you would be in a different order. But I qualified with the furthest mark, so I was actually last in the order for prelims. And then with my 202, I was also last in finals.
Got it. All right. So second throw. First throw, what'd you throw in your first throw?
My first throw was actually a foul.
Okay.
So it didn't count. So, yeah.
Were you nervous after that?
A little bit. I don't usually foul. I think other than that, I fouled maybe like two throws in the entire season in a meet where I accidentally like didn't get a throw in. So that was something new, and it was kind of just something I haven't experienced. So it did get me a little bit worried after my first throw.
All right. So you got to wait, what, 12 more throws, 11 more throws until your next one?
Yeah.
And you unleashed it.
Yes.
So when did you know exactly that, like, this could be the state-winning throw?
I actually wasn't sure that it was going to be the winning throw. Right afterwards, I went up to my coach and was like, that's a safety throw. I knew that was a throw that would get me into finals and get me four more throws at that point, but I just wasn't sure. I knew that the distance was pretty good, but I still didn't think that that was what I was fully capable of the day.
All right. So when you saw this, when you saw the distance, what went through your mind?
I was like, okay, that's that's baseline. That's baseline. That's what I should be doing.
That's what you should be doing. Is that, was that a PR?
Yes, it was.
Anything over 200, right, at the high school level, that's like elite, right? Is that kind of the prevailing thought?
Yeah. And over the years, track has just, in every event, has gotten so much better. I was looking at it like 5 years ago, my mark would have been the number one throw in the nation. And now that mark doesn't even get you in the top 10. So it is kind of crazy how things changed.
So that
time.
Event has grown that much.
Yeah.
Like guys have gotten bigger, stronger. The training has gotten more intense. Is that what you can attribute it to?
Yeah, I guess that is one aspect of it. But also in every event, like the 100, there's more people running under 10 now. I think it's the mile, more people are under four minutes in a mile. So it's called like trackflation, where everything, every number is just really good.
So what'd you say? Was it, you said 5 years ago, your throw of 202.1 would have been number one in the entire nation.
I believe so.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's crazy. The second place guy, what was his throw?
200 feet, 1 inch.
And when did he throw that?
I believe it was his second or third throw.
Were you scared when you saw it in the air? Were you like, oh, that could beat my throw?
Yeah, I was like, okay, he came to play. So,
all right. So when the final announcement, or, you know, help me out on what that even looks like, when you realized that you won state? Like, your mark was the winning mark. What went through your mind?
It was just an immense feeling of joy, accomplishing something that I've always wanted to do. My brother was a thrower, and he was actually coaching me that day, and he didn't get a senior state track meet because of COVID, of course. So, and since he was coaching me, it kind of felt like this was a state title for me and him, sort of, in a way. And it was just a great feeling, knowing that after everyone else threw, and I had my last throw still left, that I was a state champion, and I was like, this is nice.
Did you give him a big hug?
Yeah, he was the first person I hugged.
That's awesome. That's awesome. After that, who was the next person that you were able to text or talk to or give a big hug to?
Yeah, I think I also then hugged the current school record holder, who I didn't necessarily pass his mark. He still has the school record, which is a goal that I didn't get to achieve, but I'm still a state champion, so that's great with me. Then I hugged him, and then we took photos of us three, because us three, my brother, Derek Smith, who's the school record holder, and me were three of the top five throwers from Buchanan. So
there's a long list of good throwers from Buchanan. Long list of good throwers. We'll get into that in just a second from Clovis Unified. What'd you do afterwards? Again, so what, 6:30 did the event happen or end, like what, 7:30-ish? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. You stay for the ceremonies or anything afterwards? Do they still do fireworks?
I don't know.
Obviously, you didn't stay.
I never stayed. After, like, going up on the podium, taking photos with my coaches, hugging all my coaches, thanking all of them, we went straight to In-N-Out.
There you go. There you go. Okay. That was my next lead-in question. In-N-Out, was that pre-planned? Were you going to go there anyway?
Yeah, probably. We've done that every state meet afterwards. So,
which one do you go to? Which In-N-Out?
The one on Clovis and Herndon.
Yeah. That one's usually packed.
Yeah.
Was it packed? Drive-through, or did you guys walk in?
Actually, it wasn't too busy. There were a lot of open tables on Saturday night. Friday night, it was busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have your medal on when you walked into In-N-Out?
I didn't. I took it off. I didn't want to get, like, soft on it.
Okay. Smart. It's a power move. Good job. Let's go back a little bit to the beginning of your journey. You said your brother was a thrower as well. When did you first become involved in track and field? I know you played basketball as well to start off your career at Buchanan. But kind of walk us through the beginning. When did you start becoming interested in track and field?
So third and fourth grade, I started throwing discus and shot put. I would go to the high school practice with my brother at Central, because he was initially at Central. And so I would practice with the high schoolers with the coach. And actually that same coach that coached my brother is also my coach. So that's just a neat family aspect, sure, I guess, of track that we've kept. And then, so third and fourth grade.
Third and fourth grade. Were you winning events pretty quickly at that time?
Yeah, just small ones, like ones at Sanger, a few like all-comers meets at Central in the younger categories.
When did winning the state meet in either discus? I know you threw shot as well. When did that become a real goal for you? Was it junior high era? Like, you know, you saw your brother was denied because of COVID, but you're like, man, I think I really want to become a state champion. Do you remember that time?
It was probably like freshman year, I'd say.
Did it become a reality pretty quickly, or like, man, if I got to work really hard to get to this point?
Yeah, I think sophomore year, it was like, okay, if I keep on the track that I'm going, a state championship would be a possible end result.
There's a guy who's on the show many times, and it's a name that a lot of people are familiar with, McKay Madsen. And his accomplishments, not only on the football field, but in track and field, are legendary. Winning shot and discus for 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah, 2 years in a row for both.
Amazing. How did watching McKay perform, how did that push you?
Yeah, I think watching him taught me a lot about what it means to compete at a higher level. with competing with guys who are equally as good. So watching that definitely taught me a lot.
Did he ever, like, give you any advice or give you any encouragement? Did he, like, maybe even last year after he won, and right, did he say, hey, next year's yours? Did he do anything like that?
He never gave me, like, technical coaching advice, but more just, like, mentality. And he, if you're in the central section, we always want to keep it in the central section, and we've kept that in discus for 3 years now, hopefully for a fourth next year. So that was most of the support that he gave me. Never anything technical or lifting or anything like that, but mental.
He's a strong kid, isn't he?
Yeah.
he's a strong kid. Yeah, somebody got, was it fourth in discus from the Valley? Is it the Clovis North kid?
Yes, Cooper.
Cooper Haydock.
Yes.
Yes, there you go. All right, good football player as well.
Yeah.
Did you ever, football coaches walking around campus see you and say, come on, Van Grau, come out for football?
Never. They never went up to me and asked me to play football, and I also never really wanted to play football.
Yeah.
I just never had that knack for it.
Yeah.
I tried it in 7th and 8th grade, wasn't very good at it, so I was like, okay, I think I'm going to drop this sport, focus on basketball and track, and then see where that goes.
Well, it definitely worked out. I got a couple more minutes with you, Carson. What is your height and weight right now?
6'5", like 230, 235.
So next year, I won't spoil it for people out there. Go ahead, and I know you announced it on social media. I saw that was really cool. A while back, I think back in November, next year, where are you headed to school?
Princeton University.
You are salutatorian this year as well as Buchanan. Just walk us through that process. When did Princeton become on your radar? Did they contact you? Did you contact them? How did you arrive in your decision to go to Princeton?
Yeah, he had DM'd me on Instagram, I think, either during my junior year or just near the end of my junior year, about the possibility of me, like, going on a visit, talking about going there potentially, and then we carried on our conversations for several more months,
so
we're here now.
Yeah, what was the deciding factor? Like, obviously, financially, is there any scholarships? There's no athletic scholarships at Princeton, is there?
No, there isn't.
All right, so we got to take care of that, right? We won't get into those details, but how are you and your family able to really talk about it and say, yeah, Princeton is definitely an opportunity I can't ignore?
Yeah, so I always wanted to go to school with great academics that was very well known for that and also had a great throws program. So when Princeton initially reached out to me, I was like, okay, this checks off both of the boxes. Of course, they're known very well for their academics, but this year they were actually number 4 in the throws rankings for men. So
easy choice almost.
Yeah.
Everything lined up. All right, so what are you going to study? You got your classes lined up, or is that going to happen later? What's going to be your main focus?
So I'm thinking of majoring in, like, public policy and in the hopes of, like, working in international relations and that related field.
Pre-law or anything like that, or just?
Maybe. I'm still thinking about it, still seeing how things line up. I want to take, like, the lower courses and then see if anything changes.
God, that's amazing. That's awesome. All right, last question for you. Are there, you know, you mentioned your brother and how he was right there with you at the state meet, and you got to hug him when you won the discus. But are there other people that helped guide you to this moment, to winning a state championship, and helped guide you through your high school career that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, of course, my parents, my coaches, Coach Weaver, and all the assistant coaches too. The nice thing about Buchanan is that even if, say, like, the jumps coach or the cross country coach, long distance coach, they still are very, like, a piece of each event. They're not specifically focused just on the jumpers or the long distance people. They love every event, and they always look for results in every other event. And then, of course, I'd like to thank my brother's coach, who's also my coach. So they're both kind of coaching me. And then, yeah, them.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, every career certainly has its journey, and you reach the mountaintop and get to put that patch on your letterman's jacket that says you're a state champion. So, Carson, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to turn our attention to softball. Woodlake is playing in their SoCal regional championship game today. We're going to hear from their coach next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 790 today, ESPN. Winning state championships are a cool thing, right? Winning a central section championship is a great thing. Winning a state title, right, is a cherry on top. And Carson Van Grau is just on the show, won a discus, finally had to wait for his senior year, McKay Mattson graduating. The door was open, and he took it. And now's the time of year where we celebrate a lot of the things that went on during the high school season. Right now, Woodlake softball, man, they are on an absolute heater again this year. Won their third straight Central Section championship this year. They've won 89 games in the last 3 years, gunning for their 90th today. We're going to be hosting Grossmont for the SoCal Regional D4 Championship. And last year we talked to him as well. At the same moment, I look back at my notes, it was almost the same day. Coach Lara is here, Ramon Lara, kind enough to join us. A little bit different circumstances this year from last year. I believe last year he was actually on the bus when we chatted with him on his way to play Pioneer Valley. But good morning, Coach. Last year, like I mentioned, it was a little different circumstances. But I want you to describe the excitement that is brewing in the community and at school this last week.
Yeah, 100%. I think our community's, you know, they're always real supportive, but super supportive this time around. Being able to do it again here in 2026 and being able to host, it's huge. I call from my AD that they're having a lot of bit of issues with people putting out chairs and canopies everywhere, so they're trying to scramble and get some space for everybody.
So the difference between last year and this year, last year you were on the road, you got to figure out food and bus, and hopefully there's no traffic and all that stuff that can make traveling a little difficult. But this year's different. You guys are hosting. You get to sleep in, you know, in your own bed and wake up and hang out with the team. What's kind of the MO? I believe the starting time is 4:00. But just kind of walk us through the day leading up to the game. What are you guys? When are you guys getting together and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so we'll get together around 1:30 today. We did watch a little bit of video on both teams. Honestly, we focused on Madison since they were the higher seed, and when Grossmont up today, we had to flip the switch there a little bit, started doing a little bit of research on Grossmont. So we'll show the girls a little bit of video before our regular, you know, warm up schedule that we have at home, and we really won't change much.
So you mentioned that there's people already setting up, right? Are you guys just expecting one of the biggest crowds that you've ever seen in Woodlake?
Yeah, you know, our crowds are great whether it's home away, and we do expect it to be a little bit bigger today. It's a weekend, so that helps, and then being able to host a SoCal Regional is, you know, something new, something we've never done. So I think the community and just a lot of alum that may not live in the community anymore, they're super excited, and they plan to come out and support.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody from the South Valley, man, head on over there. That's going to be an exciting event. I want you to get into your team a little bit, looking at your roster. Remember we talked last year, this year a ton of seniors. You have three girls hitting over 500, just putting up amazing stats, a couple, you know, almost hitting 500 this year. Just kind of give shout outs to your stars and what this team is built upon.
Yeah, we graduated 6 seniors last year, so we knew we had some holes to plug, and the girls that were juniors last year that are seniors this year, you know, continue to develop over the summer and took another step to kind of fill that board that was left from last year. On the mound, we had Adriana Rodriguez for 4 years, but she graduated last year. Mariah Alice has taken over there, moving over from first base. She's done a great job. Keeps us in all the games. And then a lot of our constant girls have been there for 4 years, which are seniors now, and Ella Lara, Marilee Zamora, Aaliyah Renteria, Lulu Cervantes, a lot of those seniors, they've been there for 4 years, and they haven't skipped a beat.
And again, looking at these stats, I'm a stat guy, and I think people listening are going to be amazed. How about this? 467 team average. 467. They've scored 343 runs this season. It just looks like this offense is just lethal. What makes this offense just really click?
Yeah, we really don't depend on the long ball very much. We got 3-4 girls. We got a couple home runs. But for the most part, 1-9, we put the ball in play. We run the base as well, try to take advantage of all the mistakes that the other teams may make. And we really stay aggressive through the entire 7 innings, and that's usually our mindset.
All right, so you mentioned your pitcher, a senior. What is she going to bring to the circle today?
She always competes, so we're excited. It's a big moment for her. I think she's excited about it. She was excited to pitch on Fresno State, a couple weeks ago on the Fresno State campus. Now she's excited to have this game at home. We expect her to be herself, nothing different. Compete for 7 innings and keep us in the game.
What's her repertoire? What does she throw really well?
She has good command of her fastball, good changeup, curveball, screwball. We kind of mix it up. We kind of see what the other team is bringing, and we adapt accordingly. Most importantly, she's very competitive, so she pounds the strike zone. That's one big thing for us. We really don't walk very many kids. We go at them, and we live with the results.
So this group of seniors that you mentioned, a lot of them stepped up this year after graduating, 6 from last year's team. When did they start playing softball together? What do the youth leagues look like? And they play together in junior high and all that stuff.
Yeah, so last year's seniors and this year's seniors, they started kind of playing together when they were 5-6 years old through rec leagues. When they were about 12, myself and a few of our coaches, we kind of got together and started traveling a little bit, getting a little more experience. And these girls and the families behind these girls really bought into it, and it's created a real close group that really competes well day in, day out.
So I see a last name, and you mentioned her really briefly, of Ella Lara. Any relation to you?
Yeah, that's my daughter.
That's what I figured. How has that been over the years? She's a senior now, but just go through the emotions that you have, not only as a coach, but as a father, watching your daughter play softball at this high level.
Yeah, it's been great, watching her mature and develop. Came into the team with one daughter. I got about 14 now. And let's be honest, having your kid there day out, it's an enjoyment, you can't explain, right? And she does a great job. She's a great leader on the team. We got a couple other great leaders on the team. But overall, it's just a real tight-knit team that just really gets along well and plays hard for each other. No issues, no complaints. Usually we're the ones that are having to hold them back and saying, hey, we're going to take it easy at practice today. We've played a lot. It's getting hot. They wanted to go hit this morning. We told them, no, you need a rest. Let's sleep in and, let's go play one more game.
All right, so I love the dynamics between coaches and sons or daughters. Are you a pure softball family? Does that dominate your talk, or is there sometimes you're like, hey, we got to get out of the house and do something else, or are you just a pure softball family?
Yeah, it's a big part of it, no question about it. Got a son that plays baseball, so if we're not at softball, we're usually at baseball.
A couple more questions with you here, Coach. You mentioned a little bit about this Grossmont team. They upset the number one seed. I think the score was like 15-3. It looks like they got a couple sisters that pitch and alternate, but they have a lot of walks, so you're going to have some quality at bats today. But what's the scouting report on this team you're playing today?
Yeah, we started watching a little bit of video on them yesterday once they won. Wild coach team, aggressive at the plate. They put the ball in play also very well, do well on the bases. So we expect a very competitive game for 7 innings, and we'll hopefully make the adjustments throughout the game as they make adjustments and come out ahead at the end.
What would another SoCal regional championship mean to the community and to your softball program?
Oh, it'd be huge, right? I think the expectation was big coming in. While we did graduate 16 years, we knew what we had coming back. Really just some hardworking kids. Then we had some younger kids that stepped up also that are juniors and sophomores that have been around these group of girls for a while. They finally had their moment where their starters are on and they had to step up, and they really have. So While we missed the girls that graduated last year, we had some young kids that stepped up. And again, the community really rallies around this team. I think their work ethic is a big reason why. And the community just loves them and is constantly out there for them.
Well, again, I'm excited for you guys. It's going to be a great atmosphere there in Woodlake. 4 o'clock. Man, get there super early. I'm not encouraging you guys to lay down your umbrellas and your chairs because it could be a madhouse there, but it's going to be a great atmosphere. Again, good luck today, Coach. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Woodlake on a heater. That is for darn sure, man. I remember back in the day, Woodlake softball was it. Woodlake basketball was really good, too. They have a state championship as well. All right, we're going to take a break here. And in about 5-6 minutes, I've got my guy, Phil Benatti. He's here at First String Sports. You guys know him from behind the bench and doing play-by-play. We're going to be talking about the season that was here in the Central Section. You're listening to it today on 790 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Well, welcome back to our number two, the Central Valley Sports Report. We are today on 790 ESPN. What time is it? 11:06, so a few minutes before the first pitch of the San Francisco Giants at the Chicago Cubs. Would they put up 18? Ended up with 18, right, yesterday. Had to use the old position player. I don't know. Those home runs should only count as a half. You hit a home run off of a 48-mile-an-hour pitch. Come on. Come on. Anyway, it is what it is. But happy to be on the airwaves today. You can go back and listen to the show. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom. Under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report, they're all there for your listening pleasure for the entire year. Year number five is wrapping up next week, and we are good to go for next year. So lots of great stuff, as always, happening here in the Central Valley. Wherever you're listening, love to highlight all the good stuff that goes on here in the Central section. Phil Benatti is on the show. He's literally to my left.
Literally. Now figuratively.
Literally. And you guys know Phil from behind the bench, play-by-play guy. I did a little bit of a tale of the tape, Phil, from all the shows. You know, I do 40 shows a year, Central Valley Sports Report. 34 broadcasts we did this year together.
Wow.
34. The one you missed one, right?
You were in
the Boston area. The wedding year?
I think that was 2 years ago. Yeah, I think that's two seasons ago. I think I just missed out on one because I had some prior engagement, I think, with, I don't know, something to do with, I know what it was. I went down to SoCal and had a family trip down there.
I know, yes.
Yeah, and I went to the Rams-Niners game for work.
Did the Disneyland.
Yeah, the Disneyland thing for a couple days
okay.
with the folks.
So 35 minus one, so 34, and I together. We had another great year. Phenomenal job by you.
Great job by you as well.
Great job by you. That's our little send-off that we like to do. My fellow baseball card aficionado as well. What are you chasing right now? There's this cool set that just came out, and I think you and I might race to Target and see if there's still some of the shelves that got released yesterday. It's really cool.
Yeah.
1955, based on the 55 top set. This is Chrome with new guys, old guys, so cool stuff. But you're telling me about some of your latest cards.
Yeah, I'm starting to see what kind of PC I want to build together, and I'm starting to chase the Fresno-centric guys a little bit and see if I can get some autos of some guys here in the Central Valley. And, of course, Bowman Draft was a big release that happened in the winter, I think, right? And some guys were in that release and some guys weren't. And one of the guys that was in that release was Mr. Murph Gray, who we know is considered one of the elite Fresno State prospects to ever come out of that program. Of course, Madera, also yep. native. And I was able to snatch a first Bowman auto, which you could argue is one of the most collectible cards of anybody when you're able to chase somebody. And so grabbing their first Bowman auto, I grabbed it to 150 Blue Wave for about $80. And I've checked the retail because Murfgray's killing it.
Killing it.
He's up in high A now with, I think, with the Grasshoppers of, I can't remember, Greensboro, I think it is, or something.
Yeah.
It's the Pirates high A affiliate, and the kid's mashing. It's insane. He's one of the best performers in minor leagues right now, and he's a hot ticket on the card game right at the moment.
That card has doubled, hasn't it?
It has doubled. It has doubled at the moment.
And that's only numbered to 150.
Yeah. So, remarkable chase right now.
Yeah. When he got moved up, I think he hit three home runs pretty early, and he's hitting the ball to right field. I mean,
opposite field power. He looks legit.
Legit.
Yeah.
I fully expect him to be in Double A by the end of the year.
I would hope so.
I would hope so as well.
Not for just for my wallet and value of my
no,
PC,
of course,
for the success of Murph Gray. Yeah, we've talked to him before. You've talked
awesome.
To him.
Awesome.
Right? Yeah,
he sat right where you're sitting. Once.
Exactly.
He was on the show. I think his junior year. Yeah, and you could tell right away. Let's be honest. You could tell.
Yeah.
Obviously, the tools were there.
Yeah.
Right, but just the makeup and the family that he comes from.
Right.
I mean, you could tell that he was going to be successful.
It's not just Murph. I've collected a Hayner. Rookie auto.
He just signed with who?
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah. Right. I've got a Jalen McMillan rookie auto. So hopefully he's getting a little healthier for Tampa Bay, and he's got a little bit of more of a role with Tampa because Evans is out.
I think he will.
So hopefully he has better health coming into the year with Buckstein that's looking for high ups. The next guy I'm in the market for, I'm looking maybe for a Devontae Adams rookie. The rookie auto. I'm kind of seeing what research is out there for them.
There, you can actually get him for a good price.
I think he's a really good value.
Yes.
Considering I would consider he's one of the best receivers in this era to ever play.
Yes, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame, yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He could retire today, Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I know it's hard for wide receivers, but, like, let's be honest with ourselves. The dude's led the league multiple times. I'll go into the sports talk. I know you got a lot of other things on your agenda, so I don't want to.
I know.
Everyone
Phil.
Knows.
It's already,
everyone already knows.
After.
Here.
Yeah. I know. Okay. We love Devontae. We love all the athletes that come through our area. What is summer an interesting time for the sports media world? Phil, like, how do you navigate summer? You know, obviously, a great time with NBA and NHL stuff.
Paul, it's every summer's got a little different flavor to it, right? Last summer, it was a little barren. You know, once the NBA ended and NHL ended, we were talking baseball, and the Giants were contending last year a little bit. So, you know, and then they kind of fell off, but it is what it is. This summer, Paul, the World Cup is here. And so we're going to there's going to be some real long conversation about the World Cup. Of course, Max Arfston playing for the United States, which is a huge moment for a lot of the people here in the Central Valley. So that's one big storyline to continue to follow. I know the USA plays, 6 days from today? They open the World Cup.
All right.
Against Paraguay.
You know way more about this than I do.
Yeah.
Is he going to get playing time? Like, what's his role in the team? I don't even know.
He's a defender. There's a lot of defenders on this group.
Okay.
So it is going to be a deeper position group. I'd anticipate he'd be one of those super subs potentially coming in and maybe even getting a start here or there if things fall away for the United States to be a guy. But then again, I'm only speaking from minimal knowledge. I have a guy who comes on the show every week, Tanvir, who probably follows us a lot more than I do. I'm the casual U.S. soccer fan that will get up and get rolling.
And I am the casual soccer fan. That's why I asked you that question. All right, yeah, so summer, you know, it's a time for me, right? I mentioned I'm going to get 8 weeks off and maybe pop into your show every once in a while.
Of course.
If the invite is there. You know, it's more of an anticipatory time, at least, you know, for somebody in my role, talking about the high school sports. And my life revolves around school schedule, you know,
right.
My profession as well, and then what I do here for ESPN Radio. Looking back, though, Phil, on this year, what are some of your prevailing thoughts? What are some things that stick out to you in any of the sports that we did, any of the broadcasts? Like, what's some of the cool stuff?
Well, I think this year was fascinating for me because this was the perception going in, and I think it was true on all levels of sports. We didn't have like the big time like prospect recruiting guys. Like, there were not like these major names that were pronounced at the beginning of what, football, basketball, baseball. I mean, we knew some guys, but like, it wasn't like there was this seminal athlete that we thought, oh my gosh, like you can't miss watching this guy. And I think there were some guys this year that emerged and became guys that are going to get a lot of attention this year. I think that's like the number one example I could think of is the emergence of James Caruso this year for Clovis football. Like that kid has stock up on stock up of what he was able to do this year and his battles. And I remember very vividly, it felt like, I know football is 11 on 11, but when it became like Clovis versus Central East, it became Brandon Smith versus James Caruso. And Brandon Smith won some of those matchups and Caruso won some of those matchups because literally they were tackling each other at certain points.
Yeah, that's right.
Football field, either the running back or on defensively. So to me, that was one of the most fascinating developments, especially when we knew Caruso wasn't a guy. You didn't know who James Caruso was before this football season.
Well, he actually, his family moved down to wrestle and to play for Clovis High from up north. So he wasn't really on a lot of guys like, you know, me, like our radars. Like, oh, who is this? You're like freshman who got a little bit of playing time last year. And who's this guy that Pat Hill is saying, if I was Fresno State, I'd offer him right now.
Right.
Those types of things. So, yeah, good point there with Caruso. You know, and I mentioned the two guys that just committed to Fresno State, the A.J. Williams and Rolando Jefferson.
Right.
Who are going to be seniors this year, committed to Fresno State. Those guys are going
to
be.
Can't wait to see what they're going to look
right?
like. Right? Yeah.
New schools for both of them.
Right.
Right.
With the transfers.
With the transfers.
Yeah.
Back to Central East and now at Clovis West. But, we fun storylines with those guys. You know, I just remember – you know, the Adrian Martinez's and the Kendall Milton's and the, you know, Caleb Kelly's, my, you know, a little bit before you came on here, but names that you recognize, the big five-star football guys.
Right.
That went on and did damage at the college level and playing at the next level as well. So, I think of Jensen Hirschhorn for Kingsburg. How he really came on scouts' radars this last summer. We struck out 9 out of 9 hitters and, you know, tons
almost,
of scouts.
Almost had an immaculate inning in front of us.
That's right. we were one pitch away from that. I think he threw 10 pitches that inning. But, you know, the emergence of him as being a superstar athlete, projected in the first round of the MLB draft this year. You know, Deacon Rose, who graduated – early and
he delivered,
at Fresno State.
He delivered on every aspect of what he did for Clovis this year. I don't think there was any doubt in maybe a regression or something like that. Like, this kid has got forward momentum going into Fresno State. It was great. I told you that story. I had no idea I was going to see him that day, but I was at Pebble Beach for the pro-am tournament, and I see him and his father, and I'm like, that's Deacon Rose here in Monterey. Like, and of course I'm like journalism hat, but also like, let's, I don't want to bug him too much. You know, he's out here enjoying the time, but it was good chatting with him and he's in a good mind space coming into Fresno State and he's very excited.
Yeah.
So.
He's a good kid. I actually ran into him before baseball and like, how is it at a baseball game? Clovis High is like, you miss it? He's like, yeah, a little bit, but I'm excited for what I'm going to be able to do at Fresno State. But Brandon Smith, you mentioned Brandon a little bit, University of Oregon. He was there for their spring game.
That was a flip that happened this year, right? That was remarkable.
He was Arizona.
We went on red alert when we saw that flip go on.
Right.
And I think he's going to be stellar at Oregon. I'm excited to see that he got that chance. You know, no offense to Arizona as a program, but when you think Oregon Ducks football, like, that's hard to pass up, especially with the caliber they got.
I wonder, Phil, I don't know this. Just popped in my head. I wonder if they saw what he did in that state championship game.
The rip.
How hard. That's the Central Section Championship.
I remember the strip there.
The strip, the 99-yard. It was Caruso, too.
It was Caruso, yeah. He got him.
Amazing. I'm wondering, though, if what they saw his tape or watched the game in the state championship when he ran for like 150 and the 3 touchdowns and wouldn't go down and got those tough yards when they needed it on third down.
Right.
I wonder if the Oregon people, saw that and
Dan Lanning and them crew.
I want that guy. What's it going to take to get Brandon there?
And I still don't know which side of the ball he could potentially be on. Right, I'm assuming running back could be.
They got him.
That's the leaning on the other side.
I don't. I think he could obviously play defense.
Yeah, I was
at the next level.
You know, I was, It was hot because we had an argument on air, you, myself, and Pat, of like where he could go, and I think there was a split decision on what that looked like for Brandon as a potential moving forward. Because I even Pat, I thought was, I don't know, he really is great on either side. So
some of the moves and the instincts that he had running the football, though, were
he made
defenders look stupid silly.
Oh yeah, but. He's going to be exciting to see what he does, and I'm excited to actually confirm he's going to be at our Student Athlete of the Year banquet, one of the many kids that are going to be coming on Tuesday, which is exciting because for those who are listening, we hold our Student Athlete of the Year banquet every year at the end of the school year, and every Student Athlete of the Week that comes on my show is automatically invited to the Student Athlete of the Year banquet. So
it's awesome. I teased it in the opener. What a great event it's going to be Tuesday. Fresno Lexus, correct?
Yes, Fresno Lexus. Thank you, Fresno Lexus.
Yes.
For sure.
Shout out to them.
They really have come up big in helping us with our venue.
And again, you did a fantastic job putting out the information and, you know, sending it to, you know, five or six of us and voting and getting student athletes on your show. How many total? Did you have 40?
I think if my math is mathing, I think we were up to like 31 this year or something.
31.
31 athletes total.
What did you love about that, Phil? Like just the excitement of them coming on and being recognized. You could see that in their eyes.
I think the diversity of where all these athletes land, because this is an award that, you know, puts you on an equal plane here with a bunch of other athletes. And you can be recognized whether you're a commit to Oregon, like Brandon Smith, or you can be recognized if you're in little old Riverdale and still be this stud three-star athlete like Zayden Camacho, I could think of as an example. And both represent great ideals for what achievement in athletics is, not just on the field, but in the classroom as well. All these kids have a 3.0 or greater. And that's also a example of the hard work all of these kids have put in to make sure that they are performing at the top level in both the classroom and the football field or wherever they're playing.
All right,
not just football.
But. I'm not going to name every kid here, and I'm glad you mentioned that, the diversity. And that's one of the things that I love about doing this job. Is you talk to kids from Visalia, talk to kids from Riverdale, talk to kids from Tulare. So just real quick,
yeah.
I'm just going to let people know. We have Reedley, Liberty, Golden West, Clovis North, Central East, Central East, Justin Garza, Madera, Edison, Riverdale, Tulare, Clovis, Sierra, Woodlake, Sanger, Kingsburg, Hoover, Orosi, Memorial, there's Kingsburg again, Emmanuel, Kerman, Minarets, Chowchilla, and McLean.
Right.
Ain't that who does this?
Ain't that something?
Who does this?
Well, that's what. Remember Ryan Toss's speech last year?
It's absolutely.
Like we don't see this very often. This collection of athletes in a room together.
Correct. And he also mentioned that nobody in the state, obviously, he's well connected with people throughout the state, right? 11 different sections in the state of California. Nobody does this. Nobody broadcasts games. Nobody has a dedicated high school show on their stations, right?
Yeah.
Pretty special.
Yeah. These kids got a good, man. I played high school sports. I think I barely talked to the paper.
Does that say more about what is it?
But I was in the Bay Area. There's
yes,
a billion schools
correct,
in the Bay Area, you know?
Correct.
Like, these kids get this really great opportunity to. And what's great, Paul, and I hate patting our own back, but like these kids are getting good experience, right? Of being able to train themselves to talk to the media, right? Because talking to the media is scary, terrifying, and you have to be good at it. And unfortunately, not many kids before high school get that opportunity, or during high school get that opportunity. But these kids are becoming very versed in that opportunity.
And it is difficult, and we've seen that, is, you know, sometimes a kid gets a camera, you know, a phone, I guess you could say, shoved into their face.
Right.
And, you know, the spotlight can be on them, and sometimes, you know, they struggle a little bit, which is totally fine. We get it. And sometimes they immature. And, you know, I've interviewed kids that you know that we're sophomores and then juniors and seniors, and to see the maturity.
It grows right, a little bit, right?
Right. Yeah, and you see them grow up before your eyes. It's a pretty special thing. All right, so Phil, do you have a list, or are you going off the top of your head? I want to talk about like the top five.
You know, I got it in my
ish.
Yeah.
Story-ish lines for the year.
Okay.
It could either be a team, mm-hmm. right, or a moment, or okay. something that really caught your eye. I have honorable mentions as well. Now, these aren't necessarily in order. This, you know, it's a year in review. Okay. It's a wrap-up.
All right.
Right? We're June 6th, the year of our Lord, 2026.
Thank God it's not 6-7.
My school year ended on Thursday, Phil.
Sorry.
And I let my students write on the board, the whiteboard, the one time of the year they could, you know, write a little note or do a little uh-huh. drawing. I saw that dang number on my board, and they did it on purpose, man. They knew they were torturing me with that 6-7.
You better not start a lesson plan on page 67, Paul. You just know that for good fact.
They actually got me once. I was reading a book, and I passed that number on a page. And one of the kids go, Mr. Meadows, what was the last page you just read? And I said it out loud. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you guys got one over me. You got me. All right, those in education that are listening know exactly what I'm talking about. All right,
man,
so let's move on. All right.
Yeah.
So we mentioned the great year that Central East
certainly
football had, winning the Central Section Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, putting 70 points up in
right.
a championship game with a running clock over Clovis. And then right. Winning the championship at the state level.
Can I make a broad?
What a team!
Broad entry here.
Yeah.
Just, I think this year was very relatively quiet in terms of playoff discourse with the 25% rule.
Sure.
And year one, I think they're in the right direction of that change, Paul. And I think the CIF Central Section, of course, recognized some of the issues that were presented in the playoffs. There was a lot of noise around it. For the most part, I don't feel like there was a whole lot of noise this year outside of a couple loud voices, but I don't really think this year brought a lot of real, true controversy to the playoff seeding overall. There's some individual cases you, of course, could bring up, but for the most part, the volume of issues, I don't think we're there, and I think the 25% rule this year and its effect was a really good one.
I think the best teams won, obviously.
Yeah.
Their respective divisions. I think the you know, the seedings, the placement. I think the CIF is really working towards making things fair and balanced, right? The competitive equity. We saw that a lot. I think far and away, though, the Central East team was the best team.
Certainly.
There's zero doubt, right? They only lost that one game to Grant.
Right.
Right? And that was just a weird game all the way through. But they're locked and loaded for next year. They're a heavy favorite moving into next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But just in general, though, just thinking on all aspects throughout the whole year, basketball playoff seeding. I know that was, you know, especially at the top level, there could be some argument. We had a weird situation there. But other than that, I thought everyone was kind of situated where they needed to be. And we saw the proper teams get to where they got.
Sure.
And even then, we saw some great runs in state. You know, some teams getting there, like Clovis girls was
yeah,
a fascinating
was awesome.
Run to watch. And they were, of course, vindicated even in their tough loss in the Central Section Championship to get to that title game was awesome. San Joaquin Memorial's run again, even though they had to wait for a couple of weeks after they lost in the Central
yeah.
Section playoffs. I was in the building a couple times watching that team play their playoff games in state, and that place was electric, and yeah.
I thought, let me piggyback off the Clovis girls. The atmosphere that I saw in the high-level games, the Clovis West, the Clovis girls games, the Central East and Clovis state playoff game to get to the championship game, the atmosphere was absolutely electric
right.
at Clovis High School. It was standing room only.
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously a home crowd for Clovis, but obviously Central East brought their fans too. That was an incredible atmosphere. Yeah, Clovis getting that championship game, man, that great run that they had. But Clovis West, come on. 14 straight.
To see the streak end.
14 straight. Like, I don't
right.
I don't see it ending. Like, they don't want
well, yeah,
every year.
Sorry. You, track, I meant track.
The track.
The central
track.
Section, you meant. Yeah, the track streak
the central
ending.
Section, the 14.
But the 14, but the, sorry, yeah.
No, but right. they won the one that matters.
Yeah, they won
most.
The game that mattered. And I think a lot of people were going into that game thinking it's Clovis.
It's Clovis here.
I think a lot of people.
They were the higher seed.
Right.
They were the one seed.
And you felt like with the storyline of last year and the way they felt like they had that game. But then the dominance defensively, it was the best defensive game plan you've ever seen, I think, out of Clovis West this year. It was remarkable with how they shut him down.
Coach Campbell said that he had 30 different defensive sets specifically for that game.
Yeah.
And he purposely did not use some of his ideas during the track season, mm-hmm. just in case they were going to meet Clovis in the championship game. Oh, I'm going to give him different looks.
Yeah.
That's next level. One last thing about that is I texted Coach Campbell earlier this week, talking Star Wars, of course, right?
Of course.
I asked him if he'd seen the Mandalorian movie yet. And he's like, Paul, I have one day off in June. This is summer, Phil. That's why that program is an elite program.
He grinds,
he's got
man.
One. All right, San Joaquin Memorial boys basketball, great yeah. run for them.
Yeah,
watching Parker Spies in that
Parker
championship
and
game.
Sajin, those guys have been in that program for a long time, right?
Amazing.
See pictures that were posted from when their first time running through it with State, and then their last time running through it with State. It was pretty good.
Yep, and Roz doing a great job as always. Bakersfield baseball dominating the last 5 years, right? You got Liberty, Centennial, and Stockdale have all won championships.
Still think a ball bounces a different way. Bullard's having a different conversation about that championship. Just if they were a little sharper, Paul. And I think that's something maybe they can – I know it sounds you don't want to think about it this way, but to me, I think they really had that game in their grasp, just based off of a couple errors that Bullard beat themselves in that game. It
got two guys thrown out at home,
right?
On plays that they could have stayed a third,
right? And I don't think people thought Liberty was going to beat them. I thought Bullard, if they didn't make those mistakes, they were hanging right there with what we consider the best team in the Central
That's
Section.
Baseball. Godfield, we're running out of time.
Can I shout out a funny one?
Give me
us trying to figure out the overtime rules this year in football. We had our first overtime game we've ever called was Sanger and Justin Garza. Mm-hmm. We're still figuring that out, I think, mid-overtime, and then we finally figured out how it was going to go.
And how did it go?
It was like college rules.
It was college. That's right.
Yeah.
25-yard line.
Sanger Canada came out winner.
Sanger came out with the win on
that. That was a fun one.
Buchanan Wrestling.
Yeah.
Got some dudes still.
Number one in the nation.
They're not slowing down. Clovis North softball, did I mention them? Three straight Central Section championships.
Yeah, Clovis East lost yesterday, I believe.
They did.
So they were down there. Shout out Sanger Volleyball. I watched that on the news. I saw that on the news last night, and it was their first ever state title.
In anything, yeah.
In anything.
Yeah.
Paul.
And they get to keep the Apaches mascot name.
Yeah.
A win-win for them this last week.
I can't believe that Sanger's first state anything.
They were in the state championship in football at Mosley.
Yeah.
I think Jalen's Cropper's junior year.
Yeah.
They're in the state. I don't know if it's a state. I'll have to go back and check that
right.
one. But I know they lost. Any other shout-outs you want to give? Memories. Avenel softball, that was awesome for them winning.
I thought it was a great that was a great season overall. I thought it was really fun. I think we had some really good games. I think we really had some fun athletes to watch, and we're going to have some fun athletes next year. And, of course, things are going to be ramping up for all of us at ESPN, and I think obviously everybody knows what's coming with all of it. But I would like to make an assurance that I do not believe the high school flavor of this station is going to go away next year. I think we are going to be going at it the same ferocity. And our hope is that we can make it happen for the folks who enjoy listening to our station and enjoy our coverage of high school sports.
Insurance from Phil Benatti. That makes me feel good, too. And probably everybody listening. Yep, we are moving forward with high school sports. And, the station's going to look a little bit different with the Fresno State edition as well.
Yeah.
But, hey, as always, just a pleasure talking with you, Phil. You do a fantastic job. Listen to your show on my drive on the 99 home from
hopefully
home
it
from
makes
school.
The traffic move a little faster.
A little bit sometimes. I'm very, very happy for you. Let's just put it that way. But, hey, as always, good job by you.
Good job by you, Paul.
All right, we're going to take a break right now. Vaughn Blunt is here, one of my favorite dudes I've got to watch over the last 3 years. He is a second-time guest of the show as well. He's going to talk about his journey throughout high school. He had graduation, what, Thursday night as well. So lots of thoughts swirling in his mind. But we're going to have a great discussion about his journey and what he has learned about the high school life and learned as a person as well. You're listening to it today on 790 ESPN, your local sports leader. Right, next we have a subject that I wanted to discuss that we don't talk about enough on the air. You know, we talk about all the championships and breaking down teams and rankings and stats and all the stuff that we love to talk about. But mental health has become something that needs to be talked about more on the forefront of athletics a lot. You hear that a lot in education as well, and it's super important. It's we see players, whether it's pros, college, or high school kids, we see them perform on the field, and we look at that and we're like, oh, you know, they're players, they're competing at a level, but we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. And we have Vaughn Blunt on the show right now, sitting with me here at First String Sports. He's a senior at Kerman, just graduated on Thursday. Really good football player, man. I watched him on the field the last couple of years, watched him win the first football championship in school history 2 years ago. But he came out and talked about his struggles with depression and some things in his life changed. Quit a couple sports, and his grades started to go down a bit. But people spoke truth and love and life into his life, and he's come out a lot of those things and learned a lot. And I saw online on social media that he was given an award, Cal Hope Courage Award winner. So Vaughn, thanks for coming on. Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're gonna discuss a lot of things I think people need to hear about. First of all, how was graduation, man?
It was great. It was awesome, you know, just that surreal feeling of, you know, finally ending that chapter of my life and kind of getting ready for the next chapter.
Are you an emotional guy? Were you crying lots of hugs, or what did that look like for you?
No, I mean, I wasn't crying. It was definitely an emotional day, you know, seeing all my family, taking pictures with my friends and you know, some underclassmen that, you know, I'm good friends with, knowing that I won't see them all the time anymore. You know, it's a bittersweet moment for sure.
So is it true? Your high school years just fly by.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I heard that my freshman year from seniors, and, you know, I was like, these guys are full of it, you know, there's no way, you know, this is taking forever. But and then I started senior year, like, whoa, you know, I'm almost done.
Yeah.
And then I get to, you know, once baseball season ended, it really hit me. I'm like, I'm never gonna play a high school sport again, never gonna have a practice like that again. So that's when it really hit me that it flies. Like,
what so you heard it as a freshman, right? Mm-hmm. what advice would you give freshmen that come in about their high school experience?
I mean, just take every opportunity in front of you. Every person that I talked to in high school about stuff, they always regret not doing something. You know, they never regret trying a sport, a club, trying anything, you know. I think you have so much opportunities in high school to go whatever path you want to be in, and take every opportunity you want, because, you know, there is no more high school after that. You're free. You really have a time to where you can find who you want to be.
Let's go back a few years here, Vaughn. Three-sport guy. You're an athlete. You know, with all athletes, you think you're invincible at times, right? Mm-hmm. And you think that nothing can touch you. But you start to feel a little bit different. When did you maybe not to start feeling yourself, or maybe when you started seeing yourself spiral a little
bit? Yeah, I would say it was after football season, my sophomore year. You know, going into winter break, it was a very weird experience of just not feeling myself, waking up and not having like a hope or something to look forward to. And that kind of just kept building, and I didn't know where it was coming from, which was the hardest part, you know? I tried to, you know, kept trying to find it. Maybe why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling so down? You know, and that really ate at me, is not knowing where it was coming from, and that kind of just, it pushed me to not want to find anything anymore. And, you know, I ended up talking to my baseball coach coming up, and I told him that, you know, I wasn't going to play baseball that year. And the next day I was going to go talk to my football coach and tell him I'm not playing football this year. You know, I just felt like I felt nothing, and I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to stay at home in my room and just like rot. You know, I kept getting scared. I didn't know what was going on. You know, it was a really hard feeling to feel.
Were you able to talk about it at that point with anybody, or is it just you and you lost in your own thoughts?
I mean, at first it was just me lost, you know, but then my mom did kind of sense something was wrong. She came in my room one night, and I kind of just, it just came out, you know. As much as I kind of wanted to hold it in, I couldn't anymore. You know, it came out, and it's, you know, I didn't fix it that day just talking about it. You know, I still kept feeling like that. You know, I ended up talking to my football coach about it, and, you know, they both suggested, you know, ways for me to get help. And at first I was very, you know, like against, you know, trying something, or I was like, no, I'm fine. You know, I don't need help. But, you know, people, you know, if you have good people around you, they're always looking out for you. You know, they're not trying to push you into something that you're not ready for, or that's not going to help you. So I kind of had to realize that what they're doing and what they're suggesting for me is ultimately going to help me. And I'm glad I ended up listening to them.
You think there's a certain stigma with athletes, like, I'm good, I don't care, I'm supposed to be a tough guy?
100%, you know. I mean, when you have the right coach, on the football field, he wants you to be the toughest dude out there, you know, and show no fear, you know. And that's great to have on the field, but I think it's easy to carry that into, you know, your everyday life, and you kind of get stuck in a mode of feeling nothing, feeling no emotion, and just, you know, trying to tough out everything. And you don't need to tough out everything. You know, you have people, you know, it's okay to not be okay, you know. And I think it's hard for some athletes to realize that, because, you know, when you're not doing okay in a game, you can fix it pretty easy. You know, if you maybe go get some extra work in, or, you know, come back stronger next week, you know, it's like, okay, it's fixed. But then if you're not feeling okay, you know, on the emotional side, you don't really know where to go from that, which is hard.
What did it finally take for you to get the initial help? You mentioned your coach, and your mom came in and talked to you. Like, what was like, okay, I need to hit the more serious button, so to speak?
I mean, I remember vividly this one time, I was in my room, you know, I was feeling down. I hadn't really talked to anybody that day, and my mom comes in and kind of sits down and tells me that she's scared for me. She doesn't know, you know, where I'm going with this. And that was hard. You know, I never wanted my mom to be scared of what I was going to do, you know, where I was going, you know. And I really had to take a step back and realize, like, you know, I am not okay, and I do need help, and that's okay, you know. But her telling me that really opened my eyes. You know, I knew I was, you know, not feeling good, but her telling me she was scared, it really hit me.
Shook you up.
Yeah, for sure.
Shook you up. And parents have a way of doing that, right? You know, your mom is an important part of your life. And when she approached you and saw that in you, that's the wake-up call, right? So you entered therapy?
Yeah, I did.
What was your initial thoughts about what that was going to look like?
And, you know, at first it was pretty scary. You know, I was intimidated for sure. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I walked in that first day, and this room, and there's no windows, you know, no nothing. And if at first it was very, I don't know, just off. I didn't feel right, you know. But eventually I kept going, and it did get better. It felt nice to talk to someone that wasn't like a family member or a friend. It was just another person I could just spill everything out to, because I didn't have to care what they would think, you know. So that was nice to be able to just talk to someone with no, fear of them telling someone else or judging me.
When did you first start to maybe feel yourself, right? So, again, this is your sophomore year. Here you are. You just graduated a couple of days ago. When did you start turning a quarter, so to speak?
I ended up not I ended up going back to football and baseball. I ended up quitting for just about a week, maybe. You know, my mom was like, if you're going to do anything, you should stay in these sports. So, okay. And in the mornings for football, we would be at the high school about 6:30 before school, and we would be working out. And, you know, some mornings I'd wake up, and that would be the last thing I wanted to do. You know, my mom would be waiting for me, and I was just, I didn't want to do that at all. You know, but then it was crazy. You know, I'd get there, and I'd see all my best friends in line waiting. You know, we start warming up, cracking jokes. Yeah. We get in the weight room, we're blasting music, you know, people are having fun, my coach is having fun, he's being loud, and I just started having fun, you know. I realized that I have all these people around me that make me feel happy, and I have to stay with it, you know. And my coach, Jenkins, he was constantly checking up on me, texting me, you know, asking me how I'm doing. He was there for me every day, every day he would text me, like, love you, kid, I'm proud of you. Like, remember that. And that really helped, because having that figure in my corner every day while I'm working out with them, it was amazing to have him there.
A life changer.
Yeah, 100%.
What were your friends saying during this time? Did they say anything with you? Because, you want to hang out with your friends, but they probably saw a little bit
For sure.
In you.
You know, I tried not to tell a lot of my friends, honestly. You know, I told a handful, but the handful I told, they took it really well. And then they, at the same time of giving me my space, they were like, man, if you ever want to hang out, you ever need anything, you call me, you text me, which was really nice to know that I have them in my corner as well. But they're not going to, you know, berate me if I don't want that, you know. But it was nice because they were very understanding about it.
What is it, Vaughn, about being an athlete, mm-hmm. right? That you know, maybe the pressures that you feel, that did that have a lot to do with it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so that sophomore year we lost in the Valley Championship against Mission Oak. You know, our first ever Valley Championship appearance. You know, so that was a tough loss. You know, being the first team to go and then losing, that was tough. And then just that next year, knowing that, like, it was almost like, I mean, obviously we did end up winning it, but it was like, we have to go back. Like, there is no other option other than going back to the Valley Championship and winning it. And that kind of pressure did kind of weigh on me, you know, as I started to feel off that pressure of, oh no, you have to go, you have to, you know, be that guy on the field again, kind of kept weighing on me. And that didn't help when I was going to the workout. That's eventually, like, I was like, I feel so much stress from this, from the sports, and then from my own mental health, that I just couldn't take it. That's why I ended up, was about to quit football as well.
I want to explore a little bit about what advice mm-hmm. you give. So maybe there's people, athletes listening right now, and are like, hey, I'm kind of feeling some of these things too. Yeah. What would you tell them?
I mean, I would just tell them that you're never alone. There's people, you know, that won't tell you that I've gone through the same thing, you know. A lot of people, when they go through it, you know, you don't love to talk about it every day, you know, but you open up to people and they might have similar experiences. They might know someone with similar experiences, mm-hmm. that it's okay to not be okay. And more people have gone through it than you think, like, seriously. And you are never alone in that battle. You are never the first person to feel this way. So it's okay to go through those bumps. But, I mean, you have to be a fighter. You know, you have to be okay with pursuing something to make you feel better. You know, it's hard to just, it's easy to just sit there and let it happen to you. But where you really start to feel better is when you pursue happiness in whatever that is.
And reading some of the other stories, I don't know if you've read the other stories of mm-hmm. the other recipients of the high school student athletes that won the award that you did. Did you read some of those other stories?
I did.
Oh my gosh,
they're great stories.
They're great stories, but I mean, some of them break your heart.
Oh, they're so emotional. When they post the Instagram stories, you know, you can read the captions, and man, they're really sad, and seeing those kids, you know, pull through is really, it's inspiring. You know, it's very inspiring.
I agree. Yeah, there is. Yeah, very emotional. I mean, there was one young lady on there that literally was homeless, and she persevered and made it to the state wrestling championships. And so, I mean, the stories out there, you know, again, you never know what somebody's going through.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a journey that you've gone through, Vaughn. You sit here a changed person,
yeah,
right?
Sit
here reflecting on your high school career. And you know, your story of perseverance and a story of being vulnerable as well. So again, man, very proud of you, man. Watch you tear it up on the football field, become a defensive player of the year. And, you know, the story that you shared and what you've gone through is inspiring. It's something you're going to carry for the rest of your life.
For sure.
And your future, Cal Poly. Tell me about Cal Poly, what you're going to do there.
So yeah, I'm going there for bioresource and agricultural engineering. So I'm very excited about that. I start in August, and I'm ready to go there. It's going to be really nice.
So go there 4 years, get your degree, come back to Kerman, and get involved with some farming and all that good stuff that happened over there. Well, Vaughn, again, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, this is Vaughn Blunt. Man, gosh, wish we had more time to talk about this. Just an incredible young man, somebody that's vulnerable, and hope everybody out there listening could just absorb that and take that in. Again, if you are struggling in any part of your life, and reach out to those people that you trust, whether it's a principal or a counselor or a friend or some other member of the church. It's a very important subject, so I'm glad Vaughn Blunt was able to come in and talk about it. Hey, thank you guys for listening. In a little bit different format, being on 790 today. It's going to be posted on the 1430 ESPN website as well, so you can go back and listen to it as well. Thanks to First String Sports for hosting the show. Thanks to Vaughn, obviously. Thanks to Phil Bonatti. Thanks to Coach Lara for Woodlake. They're playing in their SoCal championship game today. And thanks to Carson Van Grau, who is the state winner in discus. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.